Realtalkradio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is PC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
I come from money.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Rent your reference over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you would like to follow or subscribe to the channel with your Twitch Prime, well, you can click the purple button at the bottom of the screen because they moved it now. And if you don't want to, that's fine too. We're always happy for you to just come and hang out. And if you're in a following mood and you want to follow channels, well, you can follow my channel, twitch.tv/LensWar, because we are on the quest to get to affiliate, because if we get to affiliate, I get to do a custom emote, guys. I have one planned. It's a fish butt. It's going to be awesome. So please go follow the channel, twitch.tv/LensWard, LINSWRD, same as the Twitters. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Can you tell she doesn't like change?
I do not like when they move shit. It's been there forever. I don't understand why they moved it.
It's more sleek.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Did not need to move. It was fine.
You can follow us at Wild Talk Radio at Rack Radio Show, and Lindsay Ward on Twitter to interact with us during the show. You can come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive and talk to us in our interactive chat room, which we'll talk about Charlotte later in NXT.
Yep. Yep. And I've had a crummy week, guys, so I want to have some fun on this show, so let's have some fun. And just goof around and talk some news and talk some wrestling.
Wrestling? You say wrestling?
But you, our friends are at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Because, yes, we have news, we have notes, we have NXT, we have Tweet of the Week, and we're talking a little money, 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 because Money in the Bank is on Sunday. So we will be previewing that in the back half of the show. So let's jump into the news. What do you say?
Let's do it.
So we do not have a ton of news this week.
But it's slow news week.
And bad. It's good and bad, really, that we don't have a lot of news. Bad from a content standpoint.
But hey, when there's lack of news, we can always make good content.
We will sit here and bullshit for 2.5 hours. We have done it before. So there is no huge story this week, thankfully. Really, the biggest story is that A&E announced a partnership with WWE where they are doing a brand new series that's been greenlit. It is, the working title of it is The Quest for the Lost WWE Treasures. It's going to be hosted by Stephanie McMahon and Paul Triple H Levesque, and they will take viewers, quote-unquote, on the ultimate hunt to find some of WWE's most iconic lost memorabilia. Did you check the warehouse?
No, it's stuff they don't have at the warehouse. Get it?
I get that, but what don't they have at the warehouse? They have everything at the warehouse.
I don't know, but hey.
They're the ultimate hoarders of shit.
They are, but guess what?
What?
They're gonna find more things.
Because that's what they need to do. Because
that's what they do.
Anyway, and I mean, honestly, it's Hunter and Steph being cute together, so I'm on board.
It's gonna be a fun little series. It's gonna be 10 one-hour episodes when it officially airs on A&E, I guess this fall. This summer, this fall, whenever it may be.
It's something to watch.
It's something to watch. This will go. This series is also produced by WWE Studios. The same people who will be producing the upcoming specials about Randy Savage, Roddy Piper, Booker T, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Shawn Michaels, which will also be on A&E at some point in the future.
So there you go. Up next, speaking of WWE stuff airing outside the WWE Network and the normal channels, WWE's Greatest Ladder Matches will be airing, I believe, this weekend on FS1.
On Fox. On Fox.
Oh, on Fox? I'm sorry. It's going to be on Fox.
Yeah, it's
going
to be on Fox this Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern.
So you can check that out.
And Pacific. They make sure they make it clear it's 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific.
Gotta get that time difference in there.
Because different feeds.
All right. And because we have them this week, Blaine Brents.
Yay!
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Been a good month or so since we've...
Well, they haven't been as active, so yeah, it's been a while since we had them, but these are kind of coming out of WrestleMania. These just trickled out. The first one is Jimmy Uso.
Torn ACL, MCL, his knee. Torn up knee.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Which sucks, because that's like 6 to 8 months to a year out.
Which sucks. Which sucks for his brother, because...
You know, they're a team.
They're a team, and Jay's not really like a... singles guy, so
yeah, the whole thing kind of works with them together. So I mean, although they could try to push him for singles,
they could put
him with somebody else. I mean,
they could, but he at this stage of his career, he's a tag team guy. I don't, and with the limited talent schedule they have right now, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
And then up next is Kevin Owens
ankle injury coming from his big dive at WrestleMania.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He needs to get follow-ups and stuff, but it may just be a sprain, who knows, but x-rays need to happen, and he's not in any hurry to.
Yeah, he's chilling at home with his family right now due to the crisis. He gave an interview that basically said they are not required to be there if they don't want to be, and so right now he is opting to stay home with his family.
Yeah, which is a smart move.
Mm-hmm, which is good on him. Mm-hmm. And now, that's it for the wrestling news. Super, super short, super sweet. We're going to talk a little about Fortnite Party Royale, the ultimate Party Royale experience.
So last Friday, they ran a test, and we streamed it right here at twitch.tv/WTLive. Those who join us, thank you for watching. It's a quick 15-minute concert from home. The person performing the concert did it from home. Yeah, Jordan Fisher introduced... Diplo, and he played some Major Lazer songs or whatever. And it was cool. It was a nice little experience. This week, at 9 p.m. on Friday, we'll feature Dylan Francis, Steve Aoki, and Deadmau5.
If Lupo does not do the introduction for Steve Aoki, I'm going to be really pissed. Kidding, I'm not going to be pissed, but Lupo should do the introduction for Steve Aoki. And Dylan Francis. Just saying. He should do the thing. Anyway, so that's exciting. Very exciting, very awkward transition. I got nothing. NXT, just do it.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
It's like, I got nothing.
Just do the thing.
It was just to basically tell you. By the way, one follow-up on the thing. It's aired at 9 p.m. on Friday. With a rebroadcast May 9th at 2 p.m. Eastern.
There you go.
Also, if you jump into the game between May 8th and May 11th, you get a free Neon Wings backbilling.
Hey!
Also, use code ROCKETSLOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag have a partner. Now let's get into NXT.
So there's NXT, and there's everything else that happened on the show, and then there's Karrion Kross and Scarlett. What do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about Johnny.
All right, let's talk about Johnny.
The Johnny Gargano way. All heart, no soul. Generic heel music.
I liked his other theme. I don't understand why they changed it.
Because it was so upbeat, and this character's not upbeat. This character's more dark and...
But that's the irony of it. Like, he comes out to this really ultra upbeat music, and he's just an asshole. Like, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it. It just... It's very generic. This music. We'll see how long it works.
I think until they can get something made, they're just going with it, because I'm sure there was a whole plan for this, and then everything kind of happened, and they're just going with it right now until...
No, I think it's just who their music people are. They do very generic standard stuff right now, so this is what Johnny got. Because, like, Candace got okay music when she turned.
Get CFO. Jim Johnston.
They're not working with them anymore.
Get Jim Johnston back.
They're not working with them anymore.
Go apologize to that man, beg his forgiveness, induct him into the Hall of Fame, and get him back. That's all I'm saying.
So Johnny took on Dominik Dijakovic, however you want to say it.
Dijak.
Yeah. It was a good matchup. It's been a while since we've seen Johnny wrestle a match that isn't a takeover style match. So it was nice to see him still be able to pull out a decent, solid wrestling match that isn't 35 minutes of drama.
Yeah. Yeah, you forget he can do that, because all he does is, like, these really emotionally draining, intense matches and feuds, and this is just a match. Like, not necessarily going to lead to anything, it's just a match. And you forget that Johnny Gargano can do those.
Yeah, and he was playing with the top turnbuckle a lot, and that played into the finish, the turnbuckle pad coming off. And Gargano got the dub.
So good for him. Candace was happy.
Candace was very happy. She was very worried, but she was also very, very happy at the end. In the Group B match for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, Akira Tozawa took on Gentleman Jack Gallagher, and Tozawa got the win.
Moody Jack.
It's weird.
He needs to embrace his emo.
He does. But it's weird. Tozawa can get squashed on Raw and then dominate on NXT. It's weird.
The difference is who runs the show.
Maybe just don't use Tozawa on Raw and stop squashing him on Raw.
I actually really want to see what Tozawa can do, because I really like Tozawa. Like, I really think he's fun. He's interesting and he's intriguing, and I hardly see anything of him, and it makes me very sad. Like that one time that they put him in the feud for the Cruiserweight title, I think it was, on either Raw or SmackDown, it was like, oh, this is really good, and he's really good, and he's really talented, and then it's just like, wah, 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 and then we never saw him after that. So, like, I would love it if they would do more with, like, Tozawa.
Chelsea Green defeated Xia Li. You had a little distraction from Aaliyah in a one-minute match that needed a distraction finish, but cool.
And Robert Stone was very distracted.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a little interested in Xia Li. Wait, or not Xia Li, Aaliyah. Wait.
Aaliyah. What?
Wait.
What?
Wait.
What?
They did a Scooby-Doo crossover with Blue Falcon?
Apparently.
Yo! Sorry. Anyway, yeah, Robert Stone very distracted by Aaliyah. So, could we see... Could we see another addition to the Robert Stone brand? We'll have to see. And props to him for wearing a seersucker ankle pant suit.
Also, Chelsea Green needs to work on her finish.
Is it wrong? And I think I know where it came from. The white skirt thing that she had on. Is it wrong that I was like, that just didn't look right because of where it had to sit on her? Because it's like, it sits high up on her waist, or it sits at her natural waist, so it's like she's got the gear on, and then she's just got this thick white band across the front with, like, this bridle-tight train behind her.
And where did it come from?
Gee, I wonder if she was maybe a crazy bride.
Was she?
I don't, maybe.
In another portal life, maybe?
Maybe. I mean... Yeah, but they did it in current Scooby-Doo Ash. They haven't done, I think, Blue Falcon crossover in a long time. So that's why it's like, the fact that they've resurrected the Blue Falcon in modern Scooby-Doo makes me very happy. Because he's friends with... Is it Dynamutt? Or not Yeah, Dynamutt. Or is it Robomutt? Shit.
Don't ask me.
What is the name of the dog?
I don't know, chat. What do you think? Tell us. Because I don't have the answer.
Because they're, like, friends, or they're cousins or they're something. I don't know. Anyway, they did it. It's in the new Scooby-Doo movie that's coming out, the 3D animated one, Scoob. It's out May 15th, so we may have to review that. I don't know. We'll see.
Speaking of, it's off topic because we have a minute or two. Would you guys like to see us do an Amazon Prime watch party at some point in the future?
We can raid Amazon Prime, guys.
And watch something? One requirement, you need to have Amazon Prime to watch it with us. But would you be interested in an Amazon watch party?
Dude, I could get drunk and watch Downton Abbey. They're friends. Okay. All right. That's what I thought. He's cousins with somebody else. There's a gray dog with like a red hat. I forget that dog's name. That they're cousins. And the dog's like all redneck and shit.
Anyway, so that's just a thought. Anyway, the Velveteen Dream was on his couch. You know his sex couch. Talking about his upcoming championship match with Adam Cole. Bye-bye later in the show.
It was a good promo. It was a very good promo. He had this like hat thing.
Yeah, it was weird.
I don't know what to quite call it. It was a hat. I mean, it was a hat. It was just kind of this weird thing. But it was a good promo. We do not talk about Scrappy Doo in this chat. We do not talk about that little bastard. He's not acknowledged. Anyway.
But you just acknowledged him.
He's not acknowledged. He's not a member of the family.
But you just acknowledged him.
He's the worst thing to ever happen to Scooby Doo.
Karrion Kross, along with Scarlett, made their NXT in-ring debut.
Do we want to talk about everything else first and then get to them? Because I feel like we need to do them at
the
end.
No, let's get to them now.
Okay. This debut/entrance has been the talk of the internet ever since it aired last night. First of all, this was wicked as crap. It was really cool how they did it, how they shot it. It was also really weird to watch it with no sound because I typically watch wrestling with the sound down way low or with no sound at all. So she's like walking out mouthing stuff and I'm like, what is she doing with her face? Why is she doing that? I had to go back and watch it with sound to realize she's singing with the lyrics. And also we know why Johnny Gargano got a shit theme is because Karrion Kross got the good one.
She also was the one performing in it.
I don't think she's singing live though.
No, but she on the recording, she performed it.
Yeah, she performed it, but yeah. I know she's singing now, but go back and watch it without sound, and it looks really weird.
I like the black and white presentation, but it was cool. All right, like, the entrance was cool and everything, but here, I have an issue with it, but I'll let you finish first.
Wasn't crazy about her hair, but everything else was really cool.
Okay.
It's very, like, Madonna-ish to me.
Everyone has these cool entrances, right? A lot of people. But at some point, cool entrances only take you so far. Because they all kind of blend together. Because you look at Karrion Kross and his presentation here on NXT, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at Aleister Black on Raw. You look at The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. They all have a constant, like, theme to it. Where you're now getting too many of the same type of entrance. You know what I mean?
I would disagree with that. Just because I would argue The Fiend simply because we do not get The Fiend's entrance that often. We really only see The Fiend's entrance maybe once a month, and they have not done it since all the shutdowns happened. So we have not seen The Fiend's entrance in quite a long time. Aleister Black's entrance is Aleister Black's entrance. It's along that same dark route, but it's different. I think my concern with it is them taking it up to the main roster if they go up there.
That's where I was getting to.
And they try to shoot that because, as we've seen in the past, they do these really cool entrances. And I think the best example is the Vaudevillains. They could never, ever figure out how to shoot that thing when they went up to Raw and SmackDown. They could never get it right. From day one, they could never get it right. Like, they knew how to shoot that in NXT. They knew how to do it. It was fine. They went up to Raw and SmackDown and it was like, nope. Nope, 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 nope.
Also, one other thing, they have a lot of people just like him on the roster too, so it's like,
yeah, he's kind of like the bastard. He kind of reminds me a little bit of like Dexter Lumis.
Damian Priest too.
Yeah, Damian Priest.
They're all that 6'5", 280 something pound, ripped, dominating wrestler.
Covered in tattoos.
Uh-huh.
Which, that's not knocking him, because I know Killer Cross is very good, or Karen Cross, whatever you want to call him, and he's extremely talented, and he's made his name out on the indies, and Scarlett is extremely talented, and she made her name out on the indies, and they come as a set, they are a pair, and I think that's what makes him unique, is he has her.
Oh, it will make him stand out. I don't fear for him. I fear for the other people who look like him.
I think they're doing enough to differentiate them from each other to where it all makes sense. But the entrance was extremely cool. Like, the smoke didn't even clear before the match was finished. They punt that much of, like, they got the Undertaker's fog machine out. They got the good fog machine.
Also, the match lasted less than a minute, so.
Yeah, it was. Karen Cross was just extremely dominant, but Scarlett looked wonderful, except for her hair. Wasn't a super big fan of her hair. And I kind of got a little bit of, like, almost that, like, Kevin Thorne aerial vibe off them a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Not a lot, especially watching it with sound. Because, like I said, the first time I saw it, I did not have any type of sound on. So it's like she's mouthing stuff, and I'm like, what is she doing with her face? And it reminded me a lot of Kevin Thorne and Ariel. But yeah, she looked good. He looked good. And I'm looking forward to see what they do. I really, really am. Should be very interesting. And aren't they married? Or are they just...
They're married, I think. Or they're engaged or whatever.
Something.
They're connected. Let's just go with that. I don't know if they're married, but they're connected. Then we had the NXT Women's Championship. Charlotte Flair versus Io Shirai.
This was a very, very good match. I wouldn't mind seeing this again.
Any more in a longer form.
Yeah, I feel like Io Shirai needs to get her proper moment with Charlotte Flair, because that could be...
With the people.
With the people. That needs to be in front of a crowd, because that would just be an absolutely epic level match. And unfortunately, it just didn't get the time. I have to say this, and I don't want to sound rude or mean or anything like that, but can somebody, I don't know who it is, bless them, I'm not trying to tell you how you do your job, but can we stop doing the heavy eye makeup on Charlotte? Can we stop doing it, please? I don't know who's making that decision to do that. If it's her, or if it's the makeup team, or if it's the directors, or who is making that conscious choice, but can we please stop? It's not a good look on her. I'm sorry. At least to me. To me, it's not a good look. It's way too heavy for her face. Her face can't necessarily take a lot of heavy, dark makeup. She can do a lot of light stuff, but she can't do dark makeup.
Io got the win after disqualification when Charlotte pulled out her kendo stick and started attacking her, and then she focused on the knee of Io Shirai until Rhea Ripley made her return to make the save.
She's back!
But Io wasn't too kind of the help.
No, Io was not happy of the help. And she and Rhea kind of have words.
They had more than words. They're being pulled apart from each other backstage.
Which was hilarious to watch, because they start getting in this fight, and there's like six people all around them, and they're all like, wait, do we grab them? I don't know what to do. And it's all guys, right? They're all standing there like, what do we do? What do we do? And then finally, one of the female refs had to come out and be like, all right, break it up. And she kind of like gets in the middle of it, and then the guys jump in. Like, they're all just standing there like, what do we do? Do we let them go? I don't know. It's just really funny. But yeah, I would take Rhea versus Charlotte again. I would take Charlotte versus Io again. In a heartbeat.
In the Group A battle for the week, for the interim NXT Cruiserweight title, Kushida beat Jake Atlas in about 3 minutes.
Go Kushida. That's all I have to say about that. He looked good.
Mr. Balor came out. He talked about how the biggest snakes in business were the people in the office, but he's now not sure if that's true. He said the rule he sees is attack the guy and get the push. Balor says you may have the lights and lasers during an inches, but once you get in the ring, you're in the ring with the prince. He said he's a patient man, but whoever, if you think you're going to get a push out of all this, well, instead you're going to get squashed. Good promo.
Very good promo. Finn is just a little upset.
Cameron Grimes took on Denzel Dejanet, quickly beat him in 22 seconds. And then Cameron's talking, and it's now times are changing, and it's Grime time.
No! No!
What? You're not a fan of Grime time?
No to the grime time. What? We have boss time. Isn't that enough?
But why not grime time?
Grime time? You want grime time?
I mean, grime time could get over. You never know.
Grime time. We're really going to, like, get all grimy?
It's grime time, yo.
No.
I mean...
No.
No?
What? But no.
But it's crime time.
No.
Yo, 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 yo! Pop a 40 and check your rollies. It's crime time!
Brooklyn! Brooklyn!
I mean, we had that.
Yeah, but that's cool.
Was it? Was crime time really that cool?
In comparison to grime time, yes.
Okay. He says he deserves more than what he has now. He says someone beat Grimes to a punch by attacking Finn. And then Finn shows back up, and Balor turns to Grimes and told Grimes to put his money where his mouth is and dared him to slap in the face, but Grimes didn't want to. He then took a try for a cheap shot, but Balor, well, made sure that didn't happen. And Grimes backed off, and Balor said the snake hiding in the grass, and there's a snake hiding in the grass in the back, and the best way to beat a snake is to cut its head off.
I can end his search right now, because I think we all know who it is.
Do we?
And he's in love with Velveteen Dream.
Maybe. Speaking of Velveteen Dream, by the way, it's Finn versus Cameron Grimes next week.
I'm happy they have a direction for Cameron Grimes, because I'm very intrigued by him. I'm not sure if I like him or hate him yet, but I'm very intrigued by him. I want to know more about him. So I'm happy that they're doing something with him, and I think working with Finn will be very good, because I'm always happy to see Finn, even if he is an evil asshole right now.
It was your main event, Velveteen Dream challenging Adam Cole, bye-bye, for the NXT Championship. Pretty good matchup they had for as long as they had to do it.
So much glitter. So much glitter everywhere.
There was a lot of glitter. You had Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong. And then Dexter Lumis showed up to kind of help out the situation. At one point, Velveteen Dream hit the Purple Rainmaker for the 1, 2, 3, but the ref was down.
Darn it.
But the last shot sealed it for Adam Cole to retain the NXT Championship.
This is a great match. I wouldn't mind seeing more of it. I have figured out Dexter Lumis is the Helga to Velveteen Dream's Arnold, if you all get that reference. Hopefully you all get that reference. Like a friend of mine said, like Wit said to me, she sent me this message that, you know, I hid under your porch because I love you. And then I added, and I took your toenail clippings out of the trash because I love you, because that's Dexter Lumis in a nutshell. Like he's doing this so well. Like he's doing the creepy stalker gimmick so freaking well. And he's just really playing it very cool. Like he's perfected this on a level that's just amazing. But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Dream versus Cole on their own one-on-one again. Be very okay with that. And of course, all the interference, because we knew all the interference was coming. It's an undisputed era match. Yes, Hey Arnold. It's a Hey Arnold reference in 2020. Cleaning up the glitter's not that hard. You just get a really good vacuum. I mean, honestly, you could just turn a Roomba loose in the ring and it would be fine. But...
Really?
What?
Nothing.
You could! Just, you know, put it on the ring apron and... give it a little push, and it'll just go around the ring, and it'll vacuum the ring. It could. I mean, it understands barriers. It's not like it's going to fall off.
Let's go to break.
So, all right. We are going to take our first and only break of the evening, and when we come back, guys, we are going to be talking Tweet of the Week and Money in the Bank, which is this Sunday on the WWE Network. So you'll send the rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports. Video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night's
event.
CB Radio, Saturday nights, midnight ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
every Monday night. Get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You're engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh! Oh.
Bo, please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
Burn it down! This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
High gains for the bling. Don't you know it's all about the cash? Cha-ching. Come out the double profits and stack them things. Okay. Make a big bucks, change rocks and rings. Bang. Where my money? What? Give it to me. I ain't money. Ever been scared of money. What? Really, truly, I'm always keeping very bucks.
I make a movie and somebody. And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you would like to follow and subscribe to the channel, well, you can click the little purple button at the bottom of the screen, because they moved it. And you can do both those actions right there. And, well, if you're in a following mood and you'd like to follow my channel, you can go to twitch.tv/LinsWard, LANSWRD, same as the Twitter. And you can follow me there. If we get to affiliate, guys, you get a special emote. Just saying. It's a fish butt. It's awesome. You'll love it. Anyway, Tweet of the Week.
Used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Trevor May on May 1st. Happy Me Day!
Get it? May. Trevor. May.
Millie McKenzie. Hope my best friend Pete Dunne isn't missing me too much during these times. Pete Dunne replies, the only upside of isolation. Peter, you charming social bastard, you. She loves you. Let her love you. Nadeshot, secrets to growing your hair back. And he puts out his TikTok video showing off his luscious, luscious hair. And in the video, it says, now that Tim the Tatman is here, and he starts making fun of Tim. in the video, and Tim replies, "Dude, come on!" Poor Tim. And then Courage follows up, "Tim is so mad right now, lol." And Sloan, "Everyone, fuck, literally, how could this year get any worse?" And then 2020 responds with a Cards Against Humanity card. Bees?
Bees?
Bees? Because, you know, murder hornets. That's a thing.
That, like, apparently praying mantis can eat.
Release the praying mantis.
Seas? Praying mantises? I don't know.
I don't know, but release them. Actually, praying mantises are very good for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. All right, continue.
That's all I have.
Kevin Owens. "Dear The Rock, I know you've accomplished a lot in your life, but if 2020 has taught me anything, it's that nothing compares to seeing a cardinal or a blue jay enjoying a nice snack from one of your bird feeders. I have extra feeders here. I'll send them your way. Happy birthday, The Rock."
He's so thoughtful.
"Please don't. The last bird feeder you sent me came with birds inside. Dead birds. But we're friends. So fuck it. Go ahead and send some more feeders. Thanks for the birthday love, brother. Kevin Owens. Those were plastics. I thought they'd go well with your decor. You know, reasons." So WWE on Fox tweeted, "Who are your top five WWE superstars of all time?" Maybe a future topic on this show. Who knows? "Derek Carr, The Rock, Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, Goldberg, Bray Wyatt, bruh, Derek Carr. I was going to put Husky Harris, but I had already stopped watching. Ha ha. These were the dudes when I was growing up. Sting was my next choice. Bray Wyatt, who is Husky Harris? Top five Raider quarterbacks of all time. Ken Stabler, Jim Plunkett, Rich Gannon, Marcus Mariota, who, you know, hasn't even played yet. Jamarcus Russell. Does it feel good, does it, Derek? Heartbreak emoji. You hurt me, Derek Carr. Ah, I see your point. Although I'll make it through. My apologies. I didn't know I was talking with a member of Raiders Nations. Raiders go first. Number one, Bray Wyatt. All other fan arrow pointing down all other Raider fans. Better? Shrugging? Bray, we forgive you." And a picture of his son. "Ha ha," Derek Carr says. "Thank you. Now, if you ever need someone to fly off the top rope, let me know." Let's see. What?
Bray is such a Raiders dork. Like, he really is. They just, for whatever the first game is for the Raiders in Vegas, somebody needs to make sure he's there. Well, although I'm sure he probably will be there.
Schedule depending. Which, you know, their schedule came out tonight. It was the NFL schedule release day. Because they're planning ahead. So the first, let's see. Just to look. The first Vegas game will be in week number 2 on Monday Night Football against the New Orleans Saints. So he could be there. He could be there. Anyway, King Ricochet. "True story. When I was younger, Ready to Rumble was supposed to come on, I think, TNT after this baseball game. But the game went into like 11 innings. They never played Ready to Rumble. Hated baseball ever since. Action Jackson. So Tim the Tap Man just told me what descaling a coffee maker is, and I'm floored. I've never heard of this in my life. And I'm ashamed Tim was the one to tell me something I didn't know." Someone named Papa Storm goes, "The dent in his head is pushing intelligence to unknown parts of the brain."
Oh!
I mean, let's see, where are we? Because everything's, you know, out of place sometimes. Nick Merckx, "Home and sweet home, baby. House tour video coming soon. Back to the grind tomorrow. First stream from the cave. PNL. Cypher PK's wife, Manoush, goes, "I don't know what PNL means. And at this point, I'm too afraid to ask. Lupo, I'm sure Cypher PK will tell you later." She goes, "Probably not. He usually needs a map."
He just, oh god, she just murdered her husband in one tweet. Oh god.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, I really want to believe that she didn't realize what Lupo was talking about. Or she misunderstood. I think she honestly misunderstood, but the fact that she did is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And then her response was, "Why are you like this?"
She figured it out.
Yeah.
She figured it out.
All right, so Sami Zayn, Lindsay Lohan randomly followed me on Twitter for 24 hours. Lance Storm, probably not her shortest relationship.
Ooh.
Paige, I was thinking I might wear jeans instead of sweatpants for WWE backstage today, and I realized that was a completely psychopathic thought, and I need to check myself. Sweatpants. Always sweatpants. Nikki Cross and slippers. Always slippers. So I mentioned that the NFL schedule came out today, right?
Mm-hmm.
They announced them all a couple hours ago. Falcons have a hard schedule, it seems. So good luck with that.
We'll lose every game, probably, so, you know.
Not SportsCenter. Full Lions schedule leaked. Week 1, loss. Week 2, loss. Week 3, moral victory. Week 4, loss. Week 5, loss. Week 6, loss. Week 7, bye, loss. Week 8, accidental win. Week 9, loss. Week 10, moral victory. Week 11, loss. Week 12, loss. Week 13, win no one expects. Week 14, 15, and 16, lost. Week 17, win that ruins draft position. And finally, report from Not Sports Center Report. According to a poll, after seeing their 2020 schedule, 99% of the Cowboys fans believe they'll go at least 19-0 this year. Right, Brent? You'll go 19-0.
I mean, they had a good draft. Like, they hadn't even drafted yet, and people were already like, Super Bowl! We're going to the Super Bowl! It's like, good lord, y'all.
But that was Tweet of the Week.
So, alright, ladies and gentlemen, it is time. Let us discuss Money in the Bank.
Live this Sunday on the WWE Network.
And as always, if you want to play along, you can tweet us your pick'em at Wild Talk Radio. We are taking submissions up until probably like 5-ish.
3 p.m. Well, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Twitters.
And the Facebooks.
And the Facebooks. You are welcome to submit your picks. It is for bragging rights. There are no prizes, but you can always play along with the hosts on the network if you feel so inclined. So let us start off with the SmackDown Tag Team Championship on the line as the New Day take on Miz and Morrison, the Forgotten Sons, and Lucha House Party.
I don't know why they gave the belts back to New Day.
I was a little confused by that. I mean, other than they're wonderful champions, don't get me wrong, but I don't understand why they took them off Miz and Morrison.
They don't need the tag titles. So, I don't think the Lucha House Party wins. I think they're in there because the Uso is hurt, so they needed another team, so they put the Lucha House Party in there, since Otis is now a single star at the moment. It would be weird to put it on the Forgotten Sons this early, but it wouldn't surprise me if they, you know, snuck out with the victory and the titles in this one, maybe. I still kind of want the belts on Miz and Morrison to see what they can actually do with them. And like their reign has been really awkward with singles matches. And then they lost it in a singles match. They never lost it in a tag match. And
yeah, that's what never made sense about it. It's like because I guess Miz was sick and they were trying to adhere
But Miz was in the one that he lost it in.
I know, but what I'm saying is that they went to the singles matches because Miz was sick.
Yeah.
And so that's why they did it, and Miz lost it in a singles match, which didn't make any sense other than not everybody came in for that show or was asked not to come in for that show, and that's why they've been doing it. But it's like, I just don't understand why you would, I don't know, it didn't make sense to me. So, out of everybody in this group, I don't know, because I want to see Miz and Morrison get it back, like you said, and I want to see them really see what they can do with them, because they were giving them a spotlight and then they've kind of backed off of them. But what's awkward is you have the Forgotten Sons in this, who are seemingly forgotten, and Lucha House Party. And so I feel like the Forgotten Sons maybe need a little boost, honestly, truthfully, and I don't know if giving them the tag team titles is it, but they should have a good showing at least in this match.
Yeah. I don't want to see the New Day win. Out of all the outcomes, I don't want to see New Day win.
I love the New Day, but
I've seen it.
I want somebody else to have the tag team titles, to run with the tag team titles, but I understand why they would put the titles on them, because they're the most visible, they're the most entertaining, they are the best. If they need someone to carry that tag team division, they look at either the Usos or the New Day, because they can do that. That's who they are, is they hold that division like down and they're able to just absolutely throw it up on their back and carry it. So I get why, but I kind of want Miz and Morrison to win. I'm sorry, but I do.
I do too. One, because I'm selfish and I want fantasy points. Two, I want to
see. We need the fantasy points.
We have like a month left. It's getting close. Somehow Canada's sneaking up on us. I don't see Lucha winning. Part of me thinks you can put, with no crowd, with no real like crowd right now, you can get away with giving the Forgotten Sons a championship run really quick off the bat. If they were in front of crowd, I would say no. But with no crowd, you can give them a short title reign.
Is this gonna have crowd?
No, that's what I mean. So it's like,
Well, I know that Florida lifted some of the restrictions, so I didn't know if they were going to try and get a crowd in there.
I don't think they're ready to go yet.
I don't think they are either. I mean, honestly, to me, don't want to talk politics on the show, but it feels way too soon. But I just didn't know if they were going to try and go for it, because I'm sure they would love to get people back in the shows as soon as they possibly
At least WWE's keeping people away from the ring and around the wrestlers instead of, you know, just throwing all the wrestlers around ringside to make it like you have a crowd.
He said it, not me. Please, please send all hate tweets to @FlamesForums. Thank you.
Do the complaint command chat. I'll go Miz and Morrison, get the belts back, but also I could see the Forgotten Sons winning, but my pick is Miz and Morrison.
Poor Lucha House Party.
Hey, hey. Ho, ho.
I feel like Forgotten Sons should have a good showing. I feel like Lucha House Party should have a good showing, but ultimately I think Miz and Morrison are probably going to figure out a way to get it back just because it's a 4-on-4 situation. And so, or a 4-on, or a 4-way, whatever. It's four teams. Anyway, it's been a week, y'all. So, I feel like in those scenarios, they're able to capitalize on that, and they're able to take advantage of it, and they're probably going to sneak away with the titles on this one. So, I'm saying Miz and Morrison.
April, will the New Day retain on Sunday? Will the Forgotten Sons win on Sunday? Ask again later. Will the Lucha House Party win on Sunday?
Oh, okay, all right. Respect. Good pick. I mean, it's hard to pick that. It really, really is.
It is. All right, what's next?
Up next, we have the SmackDown Women's Championship on the line as Bayley takes on Tamina for the title.
Okay. Trying to be as delicate as I can with this.
Do you want me to go first while you compose yourself?
No. I got it. The Tamina character on television is not very good. She shows no personality, no life. No, nothing. That is completely opposite of what they show on Twitter with her and the videos, where she actually has somewhat of a personality. Tamina, as you all know, I'm not the hugest Tamina fan because, let's be real, she's not a great wrestler. She never has been, and major knee injuries later and everything else has sort of slowed her down, which gives me no real high expectations for this match because for Tamina match to work, you need multiple people running smoke and mirrors around her so she doesn't have to move a lot. Which means you have Bayley and you also have Sasha in the mix, but Sasha can't really get in the ring and sort of bump around for Tamina in this one. I don't have high expectations for this matchup, so that's maybe a good thing and it blows me away. But I have very low expectations for the quality of match we're going to get on Sunday, at least two. And I hate saying that, but it's like kind of the realistic point at this stage of the career for her.
Poor Tamina. Like, I want to say she's always the bridesmaid, but never the bride. But that's not even accurate because she's not even a bridesmaid in the terms of the women's division. She's so far in the back of the church, I think she's actually outside. And so it's like, I'm so happy on one hand that they are doing something with her because I always feel like we forget about her and we forget that she's there because it's there for a while. It seemed like she was always hurt and she kind of came in that time where they weren't doing a lot with the women and she was sort of just there and they tried to, I think, put her with the Usos at one point and that didn't really work out. And then she started having a bunch of injuries and she was out. And so she would just kind of come and go. And we would never really see a lot of her. And now she's back and they're pushing her and they're doing something with her. So that on one hand makes me really happy because she's been with the company for like
a while,
like 10 years, hasn't she?
At least
10 years. She's been there a long, long damn time. So I feel like this in some way is a reward for loyalty and a reward for her just continuing to come back and continuing to do her thing, continuing to be a rock in the division.
She debuted in 2009 in wrestling. She was there in WWE since 2010.
Okay, so she's been there for 10 years.
10 years. She's 42.
I kind of feel like this is maybe a last hurrah for her. I don't know.
Like, her best role was with AJ.
Yeah, she was really, really good. But she's really, really good. And she's kind of had the most success as like a sidekick/heavy/bodyguard type role. I know she can be very entertaining because from what we've seen her on, like when she was on Total Divas for a little while and when she's on social media, she's almost the complete opposite of what her character is. And I really kind of hate that, because she seems like such a lovely, wonderful person. And we never get to see that on TV. Like, I understand she's playing a character, but it's like, I wish they would let her be who she naturally is, because I feel like that would resonate more than her just standing there being silent, glaring, and crossing her arms in all black. Like, that just doesn't feel like her, but it's whatever. So I'm very, very happy that Tamina is getting a shot at the title, because she's really has been pushed aside and forgotten in that division, because again, injuries, circumstance, whatever. I don't have any expectations for this match because honestly, it has been so long since I've seen a one-on-one Tamina match. I could not tell you the last one she had.
Sasha to get this match.
I think I missed that.
You did.
I missed that. Yeah, I wasn't sober. So that tells you something right there. But before that,
it's been a minute.
It's been a very, very long time. So I'll have to go back and watch the Sasha match to be able to make a determination on that. So I'm walking into this with virtually no expectations. I have a feeling, just based on what I've seen of Tamina in the past, it's probably going to be shorter-ish. I don't expect this to be a 20-minute classic. But I don't expect this to be like a 2-minute squash either. I feel like they're probably going to go for about 10 minutes. Bailey and Sasha, like you said, they can run offense/defense on Tamina. And this is a good way to get her back into the women's division as a contender. Because they've been taking her seriously. Like, that's the thing, is they've been establishing her as a real serious threat, which is awesome for her. Because she is. She's kind of badass. So yeah. All that being said, I honestly expect Bailey to win. No offense to Tamina.
Bailey's winning this match.
Bailey's. Honestly, Bailey's going to win.
Hey, Bob, will Bailey retain on Sunday? Outlook not so good.
Okay. Well, could Sasha cost her?
We'll see.
We'll see. So, up next for the WWE Championship match, we have Drew McIntyre taking on the Monday Night Messiah, or actually, I think it was either, I forget who came up with it, but it's actually a better descriptor for him, which is the Black Hand of Monday Night Raw, Seth Rollins.
This will be good, but it's very easy to keep this prediction short and sweet. We are 1 month into a Drew McIntyre title reign. It'd be stupid to pull the plug on it now, wouldn't it?
You need to at least get him in front of a crowd. Yeah. I mean, I have every hope for this match. I feel like this is going to be good. They've been doing some wonderful stuff on TV together. There's a lot of chemistry there, so I'm hoping that that translates into a good wrestling match. But yeah, I don't see the need to take the title off of Drew this early, since he just won it at Mania, and his big moment was, I don't want to say ruined, because that's not entirely accurate.
It hasn't happened.
But he hasn't had his big moment yet in front of the crowd. It got taken away from him due to the pandemic and due to everything going on. And they were not allowed to have the crowds in there. He got cheated out of that. So I feel like, and this is owed/deserved, which I don't like to talk about, but in Drew's case, I feel like it is deserved for him to be able to walk out in front of a crowd of people with the WWE title that he's worked so hard to get just one time. Even if it's one time. But I would hope it's for many, many months on end that he has it.
That said, I could see him losing the championship before that happens.
And he gets it back.
In front of the crowd.
Yeah, he could always get it back.
But now it's too early now to take that from him.
It doesn't make sense to have Seth take it off of him.
This week.
Now, further down the road, maybe, but it doesn't make any sense right now to have Seth Rollins be your champion. Drew's doing some of the best work he's ever done right now. Why would you ruin that? I don't know.
I'm going Drew. 8-Ball, will Drew McIntyre retain on Sunday? Very doubtful. Okay.
All right.
It believes in the Black Hand, the Monday Messiah.
Seth Rollins. Okay. All right. He's the rabbit. The 8-Ball's the rabbit. Moving on, speaking of, WWE Universal Championship is on the line as Braun Strowman defends against his former mentor, Bray Wyatt, not The Fiend.
As of today.
Bray Wyatt.
As of today, Bray Wyatt.
There are no stips. There's going to be no smoke and mirrors. It's going to be Bray Wyatt versus Braun Strowman, which means there's going to be some fuckery in this. Because Bray can call on that past Brayness and exercise a little control over Braun and see if he can't bring his black sheep back into line.
So, when they say Bray Wyatt, we think it's Funhouse Bray.
It could be Swamp Bray.
What if it's not?
Could be Swamp Bray. We don't know.
What if it's Swamp Error type Bray Wyatt? What if it's the cult leader? What if it's that Bray Wyatt that gets in the ring with Braun Strowman? Because the match with The Miz was okay for the characters to set up, but as we've seen with WrestleMania, that character can get a little bit more vicious, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's not as, I don't know the best phrase to put it, but he's not as pure and innocent as we would once think that Bray would be. So you could have that Bray be more vicious and more attacking, and or you can pull out the, you know, the wild card of the Swamp Leader and sort of go from there. In terms of quality, I don't have high expectations.
Oh God, no. No. This is going to be, I'm just going to say this, and I mean this with all the love in the world, this is going to be a shit show. And it's either going to be a really good shit show or it's going to be a really bad shit show. And there is just nowhere in between that this is going to fall. Like, I feel like a lot of people are not going to be like, yeah, it was just okay. It's either going to be really good or it's going to be really not good. But Bray and Braun work well together.
You would hope. I've heard some stuff from when they were doing the live events.
Weren't
the greatest.
I'm going to set this up. Okay, all right. I'm just going to tell everybody right now because thank you for bringing that up. I've seen a Bray versus Braun match, and it was The Fiend. Okay? It was The Fiend. They were running those on live events. I've seen that live. It was in a cage match. It was not the most wonderful thing in the world. But here's the thing. They have the ability to do smoke and mirrors on a lot of levels with this, where they can toy with it and they can play with it, and Bray can mess with Braun, and they can use the magic of cinematics to, not that I'm saying this is going to be a full-blown cinematic match, but you can have like the puppet show up. You can have Bray change personalities mid-match, where 1 minute he's Funhouse Bray, then he could be The Fiend, then he could be Swamp Bray, then he could be whatever. Like, that got set up in canon with John Cena. That Bray Wyatt can change personalities depending on his mood or depending on what he's trying to do. So I have a feeling we may see some of that again, or we could just get a straight up wrestling match. I'm not entirely sure what we're going to get. I love the fact that with Bray's matches, we just don't know now. Like, WrestleMania fucking changed everything with him. And we don't know what we're going to see or what we're going to get because they're still in this environment with no fans. So they can go completely different places than what they normally do. Like, if this was in front of 20,000 people in an arena, it's like, yeah, this is going to be a standard wrestling match. You may have The Fiend show up or you may have Fiend references show up and that's it. And that's all we're going to see. So it's going to be like, yeah, okay, all right. It is what it's going to be with this because we're in the PC. We don't know what's going to happen. There's no fans, so they can do whatever they want. This is going to be interesting, y'all. This is going to be very interesting to see. I'm curious.
I'm just sitting here trying to compose thoughts, and that's great radio.
I can say this. While you're composing your thoughts, I don't know who to pick.
That's where I was at. I was like, my brain's trying to figure out who's going to win this match.
Because it's like you're like, Drew, you're a month into Braun's first title reign.
But Braun's first title reign is an accidental title reign.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Bray Wyatt should have still been your Universal Champion, beating Goldberg based on everything that's gone down since. But circumstances led to
where we're at,
and Braun beat Goldberg because Roman couldn't. So it's like, I can't put much stock in a Braun title reign, unlike Drew's, because Drew's been the plan. Braun was never the plan. Braun got put in Roman's spot. That's where we're at.
I feel like, and this is me, at some point you have to bring regular Bray Wyatt to TV. you have to bring that character into the equation. It's already been established he exists outside the funhouse. He's a real person.
He's had one match.
It was what it was. It's been some time since then. And so I feel like as a way, because you can't always just have Bray showing up on the TV screen in the funhouse. You need to have him show up live, especially right now, because again, you can get away with it. I feel like that would give, if Bray were to beat Braun for the title, it would help give that character a level of legitimacy that the Fiend has right now, but the other one does not. Because again, the other one is like, oh, it's the funhouse character. It's the crazy, silly Bray Wyatt character. The Fiend's the real muscle. What if he's not? I feel like this version of Bray Wyatt needs to prove that he's just as vicious. He may not be as violent as the Fiend, because the Fiend is essentially Bray Wyatt's unhindered anger and rage and all his emotions that have manifested themselves into this Fiend character, and he just murders people. He just straight up murders people. That's what he does. Bray Wyatt has given into this impulse that he just wants to destroy the world and everyone in sight, and he becomes the Fiend when he wants to do that. It's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing. And so the opposite of the Fiend is Funhouse Bray. Well, as we've seen, Funhouse Bray is starting to have more and more character shifts towards the Fiend, where he's, you know, he'll be all sweet and innocent and happy one second, and then he'll get dark and scary the next. So I feel like they're progressing that character more. And I'm, for me personally, as much as I love Braun being champion, and I would hate to say this, because again, Braun is someone that has worked so hard to get that title, to get to that title. Right? And there are so many opportunities that they could have gone on him before it, and they just never pulled the trigger on him. And fate, circumstance, however, whatever you want to call it, intervened, and he got it at WrestleMania. So here we are. He's going against Bray Wyatt for the title. The Fiend beat Cena, but the Fiend also lost to Goldberg. Those two kind of cancel each other out. I don't know if this should be a clean finish.
Braun Strowman wins via disqualification. This feud will continue. This is not... They only really started the feud. There's been somewhat of a build. It's been three weeks of build. This is only the beginning. Braun keeps the title because as much as you were pointing out that they could legitimize the Bray Wyatt character, their end goal is to put the Fiend back in a powerful position, and you have to build to that point. So Braun winning by disqualification, so Bray getting doing something to survive will cost him, leading to a next encounter.
I feel like what's going to happen is at some point, because they can do the magics, the Fiend is going to show up and try to take out Braun, and that's when they're going to call for the DQ. Because they'll basically set it up where the Fiend appears, because they can make that shot happen, and tries to take out Braun Strowman. He gets caught, he gets DQ'd, and then you can show just Bray Wyatt there, like, you know, basically like shit, where he gets played. Because the other side of this is you could have Braun, because he does know Bray, right? Bray was his mentor, he was under Bray as a disciple of the cult. So Braun has a level of exposure to Bray that not a lot of other people in the company have. Like Braun knows Bray on a much more intimate level, and I feel like that could get explored. God, I can't fucking talk. Explored as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because we never got that feud between Bray and Luke, which makes me so goddamn sad, because we should have had it. We should have had the feud between Bray and Luke, and we never got it. Should have had one between Bray and Eric, never got it. And now both of them are gone, and all that's left is Braun. So I feel like somebody from within the family needs to kind of flip Bray's agenda on him and turn the tables on him and make Bray play their game. Because they understand how to manipulate Bray. Because despite everything, Bray and everything that he's become with the Fiend and the Funhouse and all that other shit, Bray Wyatt, at his core, can still be manipulated.
Alright, so who are you going with?
I'm kind of going to go with Braun by DQ. I feel like, because the other side of this is I feel like they put Funhouse Bray in there to lose the match. Because they don't want to put the loss on the Fiend.
I'm going DQ. for Braun winning, retaining. 8-Ball, who will Bray Wyatt win on Sunday? Better not tell me. So it's going, Braun. There you go.
There you go. So, all right. In a simultaneous cinematic match.
That's been taped.
It's been pre-taped. We have your Money in the Bank men's and women's matches that starts on the bottom floor, the ground level, in the lobby of WWE headquarters and goes all the way to the roof, where, for on the men's side, Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio, Aleister Black, Baron Corbin, Otis, and AJ Styles will contend for the Money in the Bank contract. And on the women's side, we have Asuka, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Carmella all going for the women's title. I'm going to say this right now. I want somebody to screw up and grab the wrong briefcase.
Corbin grabs the women's briefcase.
Like, in the chaos of it all, because we all know how this is going to end. They're all running through corporate together. They're all fighting through corporate together, which, by the way, corporate's going to get trashed. And if somebody doesn't end up fighting on Vince McMahon's desk, I'm going to be very, very upset.
Okay, okay. Stay right there. So, we know Vince likes the steaks. I mean, detailed by Luke Harper, Brody Lee on AEW television. Vince McMahon loves his steaks. Imagine Otis going to Vince's office and eating his steak.
It'll probably happen. But, yeah, this is going to be interesting. And like I said, I want this to end with, like, somebody screwing up. Like, honestly, for SmackDown, I could see Otis screwing up. And he grabs the women's Money in the Bank, and this is how you get away with this. And he gives it to Mandy.
So I wouldn't even say him screwing up. He's just doing it for Mandy.
Like, she convinces Otis to grab the Money in the Bank contract
for her. Yeah. I mean
that would be. I know we had it with Carmella and James Ellsworth,
but Mandy's not in this match, so it's different.
Yeah, Mandy's not in this match. He's not winning the match for her because she's in it. He's winning the match for her because he is completely infatuated with her and she can play him however she wants.
I mean, it's a story they could tell. I don't think they will, but it's a story they could tell.
Well, then you have, you know, basically all six women who are in this match, or three of the six women, then go after Mandy because it's like, well, wait a minute. You had him grab the contract. We didn't get a fair shake. We should get a fair shake at it. And then you can do a four-way for the contract if you want. Because Mandy is SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So she could do, you could do Asuka, Shayna, and Nia versus Mandy for that contract.
Wrong way. Dana, Lacey, Carmella.
What?
Asuka, Shayna, and Nia are on Raw.
They're on Raw. Right. Sorry. I meant Dana, Lacey, Carmella for the contract.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Sorry.
It happens. They're threatening to throw people off the roof, so if someone doesn't get thrown off the roof, I'd be sad. You're going to have people bumping into each other. I expect R-Truth to show up and, you know, do something at Corbin with Carmella. Just because it's R-Truth. He can think it's the Royal Rumble or whatever, wherever they are. I could see other people in this match. I could see people like Rey Mysterio being taken out and someone like from the Andrade crew gets involved in this matchup. Just because it's corporate. Anything goes. So these six men who are in this matchup, one of them could not even win the match. It could be someone completely different. You just never know. It's at corporate. Vince McMahon could do it. Oh, God. I said McMahon.
Shane
McMahon.
Oh, God. Shane's going to go off the roof of corporate.
I mean, he has no job. I mean, his one way back in would be winning Money in the Bank. And I mean, Shane McMahon, best in the world. He could be flying. He could fling himself off the top of corporate headquarters. It's possible.
It is possible. It's entirely possible. I mean, there's going to be shenanigans abounding. There's going to be stupidity. There's going to be cameos. There's going to be everything. Like, because this is pre-shot and they can do whatever they want, they're going to, again, I feel like they're going to just absolutely trash corporate, because I think the plan is going to be, instead of moving into their headquarters, they're probably going to do renovations on the building to kind of save money a little bit. So this is a very good way to start that process, is you just turn 12 wrestlers loose in the building and they just go for it. I mean, and they just rip up the building. We're going to get a tour of corporate like we've never seen before, y'all. I'm very excited. But like I said, if they don't end up in Vince's office or Hunter's office and they aren't fighting in either of those offices, I will be upset.
That said, who's winning?
If Otis does not grab the briefcase for Mandy for the women, I don't think it's going to be anybody from SmackDown. I think it will be somebody from Raw. I honestly would like to see it be Shayna to set up Shayna versus Becky one more time. Becky's had a nice long break. This is a good way to give Shayna another opportunity. She can be that threat for Becky, and she can either cash it in that Monday night, or she can hold on to it, and she can wait, and she can wait for her right time to strike against Becky. And they could have her hold out for as long as she possibly can until they can get that back in front of a crowd, and then you do Becky and Shayna in front of a crowd. And that's how you pull that off. But I could see it going to Nia, which, no offense to Nia, that just does nothing for me. I also wouldn't mind Asuka. I think Asuka would be incredibly entertaining with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
I don't want to see it on Nia. Carmella doesn't need it. Lacey doesn't need it. Asuka would be funny, but she doesn't need it. Shayna should win it. I could also see Dana Brooke ending up with it because they seem to be on this crusade to make Dana Brooke single star a thing. So her getting the opportunity, cashing in, and having a match against Bayley for the championship wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. Yes, they did say stuff in a commercial where Becky confronts the winner of the Money in the Bank, but you never know. That you teases are teases, and who knows. I'm going Shayna Baszler wins this matchup for the women. So 8-Ball, does Asuka win Money in the Bank on Sunday? 8-Ball says, it is certain, so there we go on that side. Now let's go to the men's side. You have AJ Styles, Otis, King Corbin, Aleister Black, Rey Mysterio, and Daniel Bryan. Who you got?
This is tricky.
It's tricky.
Because, all right, you have Drew McIntyre, and you have Braun Strowman, who are your current champions.
Your current reigning, defending, undisputed heavyweight. As we've seen last year, it doesn't matter if you're in the match or not. Someone could just randomly show up and have a Brock party.
Mm-hmm. So, could somebody come in and potentially steal this from them? I don't think so. To me, looking at this list, there's two contenders. There's Brian, and there's AJ. I think Mysterio could have a shot.
I don't.
But that's just for namesake. I would love to see Aleister with it, but I don't think he's going to get it. I don't think he's in a position to get it. Corbin, no. Just no. Plus, he's already won it, hasn't he?
He's won it, yeah. Remember, he slipped on the banana peel to John Cena.
Oh, that's right. And then Otis, who could win it because they're extremely high on Otis, and he could get the Money in the Bank championship opportunity, but I just don't see them doing that yet because, again, he's not in that position to get that.
Otis and Braun would be terrible. It'd be a big man match, but it'd be a terrible big man match.
Have them do a steak eating contest for the title.
Wouldn't be the worst idea.
I would be very curious to see who could win that. Honestly, truthfully, I would. I've got Shayna winning the Money in the Bank, so I feel like it's going to be SmackDown that gets the men's. But I don't know, because it depends on who wins against Bray versus Braun. Like, I think that's going to determine on the SmackDown side who wins that. And then in terms of Raw, it's easy because it's Styles, and he's definitely not a heel, or he's not definitely not a face. He's not a heel really either. He's kind of a tweener right now, but he could go against McIntyre for the title anytime he wants. And then you could have AJ Styles be champion of Raw, but they would also hold on to that for as long as they possibly could. I don't think Raw takes both.
I mean, it's possible. AJ doesn't need it. He can step up the Drew and get his title match.
Mm-hmm.
After listening to him on SmackDown, I give it to Bryan. I think Bryan should win Money in the Bank. Again, in the current environment we're in, the briefcase doesn't mean as much right now because you have a limited roster, so people like Aleister Black could, in theory, just get a title match. AJ Styles could get a title match. Same could be said for Daniel Bryan and stuff and whatever, but I think the passion Daniel Bryan has, I think you could do something, and then you could also have Gulak involved, and that you can tell that story going forward, and with him being Money in the Bank.
I feel like they took Apollo Crews out of this match for a reason, and they put Styles in. Like, they purposely took somebody out of this match, and they put Styles into this match.
Well, in theory...
I'm sure he was always in it.
Because the match has already been filmed, like, 3 weeks ago, so, like, they filmed TV after this match was filmed, so it was like, I don't know.
I don't know, but it's like that is an indicator to me that there was a plan for AJ specifically.
But it also makes it too obvious.
Yeah, I understand that makes it too obvious. I mean, I would like to see Brian win it, because here's the thing with Brian, is Brian can take it and Brian can hold on to it, and he doesn't necessarily have to challenge Braun for the title right away. He can just hold on to the Money in the Bank contract for as long as he wants, because here's the other side of this coin, right? It is a Money in the Bank contract for any championship in WWE. You could very easily have Daniel Bryan go challenge Adam Cole for the NXT title with the Money in the Bank contract. We've seen Charlotte cash in the Royal Rumble on Rhea Ripley. Bryan versus Adam Cole would be a marquee match for them, and it gets them kind of out of that sticky situation, especially since Braun and Bray are probably going to continue to feud. You don't need Bryan in that mix. There's no reason Bryan needs to be there unless you're going to bring up Wyatt family stuff, which he wasn't in the family at the same time as Braun was. So they don't necessarily have that same experience together. The only common link is Bray. So that would be, honestly, that would be really cool if Bryan won it and then we went down to NXT to challenge Adam Cole for the title. Imagine him winning it.
Imagine when we're in a real world situation again. A Daniel Bryan, Adam Cole championship takeover style match.
I mean,
the match they had a few months ago on SmackDown was good. I mean, just because I'm just saying. Imagine it with the takeover oomph behind it. Imagine. So I'm going Daniel Bryan wins Money in the Bank. You're going?
I'm going to say Daniel Bryan.
8-Ball, does Rey Mysterio win Money in the Bank? Says no. Mysterio, does Otis win Money in the Bank, 8-Ball? Very doubtful. 8-Ball, does AJ Styles win Money in the Bank? Yes, definitely.
You mark. I mean, another thing could be AJ challenges Adam Cole as well, but because that's two smug heel-ish type people, I don't think that will happen. I think you're going to have a good guy win it, and that's going to be a challenger for either Bray for the title, or it's going to be a challenger for Adam Cole. But at the same time, Bryan could also roll up on Raw against Drew McIntyre and be like, dude, sup, got the thing, let's go. Like, that's what makes this so interesting, is because they're filming the shows in the same place. The brand split can kind of bleed back and forth a little bit as people are needed, especially for Money in the Bank. I feel like, kind of, not really, but it could. You don't know. It's any championship he wants. But I think that does it for us. What do you think?
Make sure you go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork and you post your pics. You can tweet them at WildTalkRadio, at Rock Radio Show, as mentioned earlier on. But yeah, we're done. I think we're done. Coming up, we're doing Fortnite, I think.
I think we need to send out the message to the group and find out who we have for Fortnite with friends. So stay tuned. We'll let you know if we're doing the thing.
Okay, but Saturday night, midnight, I should see Radio, CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. I have an idea. I've made a debate. We'll see.
Oh, God.
We'll see if we can go with it. It's very theme-oriented for this weekend. I'll tell you. Before that, we'll be Fortnite with friends. Sunday, probably about 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll be Russell Talk Radio to review Money in the Bank. Monday night, so I'll post you at 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review Money in the Bank. Rock Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, The Rock Radio Show. Follow at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. Never give you Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch accounts, call Twitch Prime, and you can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner.
And you can follow me on all the social medias and on Twitch at Lins Ward, LANSWRD, twitch.tv/LinsWard. If we get to affiliate, guys, which is what I'm trying to do on Twitch, you get a special emote. It's a fish butt. It's awesome. So please go over to twitch.tv/LinsWard, LANSWRD. Follow the channel. I promise not to spam you with stuff. I swear, but please, let's get to affiliate. Let's go! Doesn't cost you anything to follow. It's free. But if you want to come hang out while I'm streaming, that's fine too. I'm always happy when people stop by and visit. And, you know, while you're visiting things and checking things out, don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And everybody, sit tight. Give us a few minutes. Let us see if we can get hold of people for Fortnite with friends. Pay attention to the chat and the Twitters at Wild Talk Radio, at Lens Ward. We'll let you know if there is going to be Fortnite with friends after the show. We're still waiting for people to respond. So everybody just hang out, chill. Go get a snack. Go get something to drink. Go change into your night pajamas if you haven't already. You know, whatever. And we'll let you know if Fortnite with friends is coming up. But till then, until next week, you've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And he's Rock, and I'm Lindsay. And we'll see you then. Bye. Women anywhere, the naughty denim and leather, call it chicken, whatever, son, they get better. I'm one smart cookie, the vet that smacks rookies. My stock's on top, your checks bounce while mine's boogie. Wrist, I must rock it, chick, stop it, I knock it. Cash looks like I got a gang of fists in my pocket. WildTalkRadio.com.